Thank you, Pastor. Awesome. Too loud. Gonna catch everything, isn't it? Woo. Worship was good today, amen. Wow. Some days you just never know. We get up here and we worship. I feel like I need to tell you this. We get up here and we worship, and you think, man, we picked a great song. We can really play, and we're really good. And you think, this is going to, and then there's other days you're like, we can't even play a note. And then we don't know what songs we're going to get to today or exactly how we were going to do that worship set. And then it's amazing, the surrender of God. I thank Luke for that. He surrenders to the Lord with his talent, amen. And then you were able to really be able to embrace that and let God do what God has to do. And it's hard sometimes with pride and getting to a point that we can humble ourselves to his mighty hand. God's good. We hadn't planned to do that song today, but how he loves us. Wow. My own life, and I know the lives of many of you here, I can't explain that. At some point, I just conclude, I have to say this, at some point, I just have to conclude that it's your will, God, not my own. You know how we fight that at times? That can't be your plan, right, God? This isn't what you had for me, and it's got to be look different and things like that, just like worship this morning needed to be better. We needed to be more talented, and we needed to pick better songs and things, and then I love when the Lord just goes, Mark, can you just let me do this? One thing about me and the people that know me that, you know, I played ball with, Dad's a pretty prideful guy. I thought, man, I'm good at all this. I thought the world evolved around me at one time. God gave me a lot of talent and stuff, and I thought, man, I can do a lot of things, Lord. I'm pretty special. And then I also learned, or I learned through life, that it's all about God, and God is good all the time, and the surrendering and humbling to him and watching him move is way, way better than anything that I could ever do. In fact, it hasn't anything to do with me today or you today, and we have to conclude that. So when we get into this word today, we're gonna figure out that God loves us. Amen. And when I preach every time, I'm always like, God, I'm not very good at this. I'm going to go preach, and y'all have heard me say this 20 times. It goes, Mark, just do this. Tell them I love them, and we can go home. And I mean that. He's that big of a God. God loves us. He has an assignment for you today to be sitting right where you're sitting. Right where you're sitting, Nick. And through salvation and victory in that, it causes a wake. There's a wake coming in 2021 of salvation and victory. He's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of who he is. And not who we are. And there's a wake coming behind you and behind every salvation. Whew, I'm going to go there. What God's going to do in this next year is bring salvation and victory to us in Jesus' name. And we're going to conclude that it's not about us. Wow. That's a powerful word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Wow. All right, let's pray. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, Lord God, and again, I humble myself, Lord, to your mighty hand, being unworthy today that, God, you have a big plan today, and it's bigger than anyone here or anyone can conceive. It's about salvation and victory, and it's a powerful thing. It's about your love. It's about your grace and your mercy for your people. God, I surrender to you today, God, that it would all be about you. And when we get finished today, God, victory and salvation will take place to your people, over your people, for your people, through your people, causing a wake of salvation and victory behind it. God, I give you praise that today is a special day from the foundation of the earth. And God, that we sit here today in awe of how good you are and how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, there's so many places I want to go in my heart right now for everyone that's here, and today's different. Amen, I don't know why I can tell it so much, but today's different. Prayers go out, Pastor Mark, they go out to the hammocks, they go out to people in need. Prayers go out to the family of Doug, your family. You encouraged me and inspired me. I'm going to go there. God just says to go there. You're the one who took me to Promise Keepers, and that's the day I found the Lord. And that wake from your father through your family all the way to me and beyond that makes a difference. I promise you. Thank you, brother. That's the day I really found the Lord, was on that trip, that he had courage enough to ask me to go with him. It's a big deal. Right now it's a big deal, and it always will be. Amen. Because I probably wouldn't be standing here today if God didn't use people in my life like yourself. Okay, let's go home. Is everybody good? I need to stop because I'm not going to be able to get through this. There's too many things I feel on my heart today that I can't stop, And it's okay though, right? What if we just let it go today? What if we just let it go? And we just tell the truth of what the Holy Spirit would try to tell us today, because that's the only reason he's called me, because I'm not qualified. And I may mess up from the foundation. We are prone to make mistakes in life, but we also have a God that's bigger than all of them. And he's calling you out today. He's calling me out. He's calling out our families today. He's calling us out to seek him in a way like we never had before and watch his mighty hand go forth and deliver us from evil. That's what he wants to do over all of us, over this country, over this state, over this city, over your family. And we've got to stop living in fear. And we have to today, God, I asked God, I said, what is it today, Lord? Because this, we need something. It's the last Sunday of the year, which every moment counts. It doesn't matter. God's about today. We're going to get into that. But it's the end of this year. And what would God tell us? I was like, God, before I give this message, what are you telling me, Lord, to speak over your people? And the Lord said to me, my people are afraid. And the world's got everyone living in fear. And what God, I said, okay, God, what does that mean? He goes, I don't want my children to live in fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And we just saw through Christmas that perfect love in our Savior Jesus was born into the earth, that by him living his life, a perfect sinful life, going to the cross and died for me, he took the keys and he rose to life again on the third day, amen. He gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and we need to start walking in the victory of that salvation and push back and proclaim that no more will I fear. Woo! And we need to start seeking God in a way that we've never sought him before. Is that a good word, English teacher, Carrie? We're going to seek him like we've never sought. Now that I've been given permission to use that word, we'll use it today. So when I asked God, I said, God, what is it? He said, let's stop the fear. I go, man, I feel bad because I've been running around squabbling, if that's a good word. Luke's that a good word? Luke and I always pick out good words. I've just been like, why am I just groveling around? Maybe that's it, in fear. You guys know what it means. We're from Oklahoma. Just put in there whatever you want. But I go, I'm doing that. I'm running around afraid for my family, afraid for people, afraid for my children that are out in the world. And God's clearly showing me in my life, Mark, I've got it. At some point, not only do you need to surrender to me, my love's so big and so strong that it'll flow through your children and you don't have to worry about them, even if they've messed up. Woo, he's good enough to do it all. I said, Lord, you can do it all. I don't need to help. Not really, Mark. Because he can just move me out and use any one of you to do this today. He's not a respecter of persons in that. So it's our daily choice, walk in faith or in fear. This is determined by how much we seek God. Almost every time I preach, of course, we all need to hear this. He's like, I was like, God, what is it? My people aren't seeking me, Mark, because I've already finished it. We need to change our mind. Oh, we need to change the way we think. Because I know the guy's been in coaches and battled in victory, and we go out and we fight these battles. We're always leading people into victory. That's why I love coaches, because they're basically get up every day and they try to lead it positively in victory. That's the way we should be in life. We should be leading with that kind of example. But you know what's cool about that example? We've already won. Woo, by salvation today, as long as you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've already won. I'm just as saved today standing before you as when I die and go on to heaven. I believe it with all my heart. And there's eternity waiting for me in Jesus' name. And you know what else we can do besides believe it? We can proclaim it. with faith. And I know there's doubt sometimes. We go, oh, God, is this really right? Can you know? The deal is you'll get to a place you surrender enough. For me, you just stop doubting. Even if I stumble and fall on my face, God loves me because His grace is good. It's a free gift of salvation. The most often repeated command in Scripture, do not fear. Woo! God and the people, the disciples and the people that spoke for the Lord throughout the entire Bible, the greatest command given more times than any other command is do not fear. And the world's goal is therefore to create fear. Because fear is the absence of love, and it's the absence of trust, it's the absence of faith, it's the absence and complete knowing that God has me, know what, unto the death, through salvation and victory, cannot come back. You see what I'm saying? It cannot come back any other way. And I stand before you today, even though I'm a miserable mess up at times, that I cannot be defeated. There is no reason to quit because God's got your back to the death in Jesus' name. And we're supposed to be standing with that kind of authority and that kind of power in our life and that kind of faith-filled ministry. How do we do it? Seek God. Am I good enough at it? Absolutely not. But He told me to tell you that today. At times, I'm just like all of us. I run around, I go, but when I got close to God this week, He said, Mark, go forward, tell my people, do not fear. How many times in the Bible when their back's against the wall and it's the final day and Goliath's raining down upon them and the Red Sea's coming upon them and the Egyptians are pulling down on them and they're fighting. Their greatest fears ever was always right before God's delivery. So you're telling me that my fear and my trial maybe a place that I can grow in trust of God? Yes, that's what God would say today. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to ask you a question. Everybody think for me. We're going to move through this quickly. What makes you feel safe? Excuse me, I got to clear my throat. What makes you feel safe right now? Because if we walk in this, we have to ask ourselves these questions. I'm like, God, what are we fearing? Well, what makes my people feel safe? I'm going to give you a few things. My bills are paid. I got money in the bank. So if I need to go get something, I can. Okay? My job, my health insurance, my kids are safe. We'd agree, right? Those make you feel safe. Okay? And so I was going through that, and I go, then what is it, God? Because we're relying on those things instead of you. And He goes, God, it was like, Mark, I don't need any of those things to take care of you. Really? No. We're putting our trust in man. We're putting our trust in someone writing us a check, get our $600 or whatever else someone might give us. Amen. At some point, God is going to take care of us. And we get on Facebook. We get on social media. We spend 95% of our time bringing in fear and 5% or less time putting in faith. And so as long as we continue to fill this pot up with fear, we're going to have a hard time ever getting our pot full enough to spill our faith over into the world. And that's what my commitment is now, that every day when I get up, I'm going to be better at building my own faith so I can spill it off into the world. And if we all would just do it for ourselves and our family, then it'll take care of itself. Because God's plan can't fail. The problem is we're not stepping into it. We're not enacting it in our lives, and we're not utilizing it because we're not seeking Him enough to make a difference. Wow. Yay, man. Worthy versus fear. Okay, I want you to hear this. I found this. Although many people, who worries? Oh, who is there worry in your family? Oh, you know, I run around, I'm just like, everybody just worrying. We're just worrying. And I go, okay. Oh, no, it's kind of funny because it is true. Who's just sitting around worrying, all right? Although many people do use these words interchangeably, worry versus fear, there are differences. Fear means an unpleasant emotion that is caused by danger. Worry, as a noun, is the thought that something bad might happen. And to worry, when used as a verb, is to think it will happen. So you know what tells me if you're a worrier and there's worry in your family, there's worry all around you, is you're already believing something's going to happen that's bad to you before it ever does, because 90% of what we're taking in that the world's given to us is telling us it's going to go bad. It's not going to work out. Are you with me? That's the enemy's plan, guys. There's no victory in that. There's no grace in that. There's no faith in that. Grace will protect me till the end, because even in my miserable mess up, Jesus Christ has got the ultimate victory. We're going to get into that. First, we need to not fear. Second, believe good things in our life? Can we get up every day and we want to expect good things? And how do we do that? Get up, read the Word, make a lifestyle change, figure out a way to start enacting the things of God as I pursue one tiny step at a time. You know what I've learned in my life? All I need is just the smallest step ever. He meets me right there every time. He's never not. He is never not. The Word will never fail. We're going to talk about that in just a second either. I have never seen the Word in my life fail, but I've seen me fail all the time, and me making bad choices and not enacting it in my life be where my failure comes from. God is not capable of failing you. He doesn't fall off of His throne. Woo! You guys listen to that song, King of My Hearts? He doesn't fall off of His throne, guys. That's good. Okay, so we're going to go to 1 John 4:18. Let's see what God says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Wow. Perfect love casts out fear. This right here, guys, and I spoke this a few days ago, a few times when I was here. This is a love story from God to you. That's all it is. And you know what I found out at the end of the day? That's all any of it is. God just wants us to love Him as much as He loved us. And we just run around making about ourselves. It's really that simple. Wow. It's good, isn't it? It's a love story. The sacrificial love is perfect. Jesus is the perfect love. Because he didn't have to do what He did. I'm going to go to Jeremiah. We're going to talk about seeking. And I always do Matthew 6:33. We might get into that because that's to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. We've heard that so much that I believe sometimes we just wear that out. But I'm going to go into, there it is. Let's just read it. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. That's what we want. Everything added to us. The job, the money, the paycheck, the insurance, the deal, right? Okay. So we know that. But I'm going to go to Jeremiah 29:11. And here's what God just brought this out of me. And I've read this 100 times, but I want to show you something new, I believe, that God wants us all to get through this. So great scripture, right? Everybody that knows this loves this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The problem is we love to read the part that's God's word and God's responsibility. And this is the one we put on our fridge, and this is the one we quote all the time. But let's go on through chapter 11, 12, and 13. Future and a hope. Then you, meaning you, will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. We'll go to 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Okay, here's what happens is when we run from God and we want our own things, we are carrying ourselves away, and we become captive to this world. When you seek me with all of my heart, see, we want to do the part that says, God, Jeremiah 29, I'm set, guys. I'm just going to sit back. Now, go back up to 12, Carrie, if you will, on that, Jeremiah. Because this is so key. This might be the only scripture we really need. Then you will call upon me, and I will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And then 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. In other words, he's sitting right here. And you can't not find me. But how much time do we give him? And I'm guilty. And we're all guilty. He's sitting right here. He's here today. And the presence of God is here today in a powerful way. Okay, so now that we've discovered the rest of Jeremiah 29:11, so from now on when you hear that, remember what it says is to seek God, okay? Because that's actually your part in the scripture. Because God already has the plans for you, woo, and the hope, and the future. But we left out the part that we're supposed to seek him. God, you got it. I'll sit back. See, God can't steer the car if we're not driving. I'm going to tell you this. I had to start driving the car. I was lost to the point, guys, I'm just going to testify, to the point that I'd quit I messed it up enough. Is anybody with me? To the point that God better fix this deal because no one else can. Whew. And you get on your knees like that, and all of a sudden you start just going forward, wherever forward is. Okay? I just started going forward and seeking God. And you know what I found out? He was right as you go forward. And then he's right again. I'm like, God, you're always right. Yes, I am. Woo! And I started chasing that because I found out that the only way that my life can be restored, redeemed, and taken from this brokenness is by him, and it'll never be by me. And no matter how much you've been broken or not broken, it doesn't matter. If you really want the fullness of God, we have to surrender. The brokenness of me is why I'm here today. Because I'm broken, guys. Thank God. That sounds funny, doesn't it? Can I sit here and tell you before you today that my worst day was my finest hour? My brokenness was my victory. Because all of a sudden, when I am weak, he is strong. And he took over as quarterback of my life. And this was the playbook. And I've been following it ever since. And at times I see the amazement of my kids and things that they do in their lives. And they're all perfect, trust me. But I see the things that they're doing. And I sit back and people go, man, you did a really good job. I'm just like, no, I didn't. This did, though. I learned that this right here really, this works. And I'm going, really? Did we do good? Carrie, have we done? I mean, I do that. I'm like, did we do good or didn't? Oh, this worked. Wow. So I'll never take any bit of that credit other than the fact that one thing, I just decided to seek God because he asked me to. It's okay to do that. It's okay to seek God because he asked us. All right, so I want to go to, as far as change your thinking, how do we seek God? Pray, read the word, and worship. Change your thinking. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the problem is we're being transformed by social media and everybody's opinion that shouldn't count or shouldn't matter because every one of them are probably wrong because they're motivated by their own sin and their own inability to be perfect. So we agree with some of the people on social media and we don't agree with some, but in reality, they're all misfits and failures and they all need salvation and they all need victory, including me. Amen. I want more victory today. That's my point. And as we grow in victory, I'm like, God, you're so good that you can replace any of the junk in my life and bring me victory. So I started giving him a piece at a time. Here's the key for testimony. Take something in your life and just give him a piece at a time and let him fill the void with something better. But it's going to change a lot. It's going to take a lifestyle thinking change. We're going to have to think different. And who's done that? Every once in a while, you just take a little step towards God and you watch him meet you. Who's done that? Why do we stop? Why do we get comfortable and then we turn right back at the world and just jump right over into that pool of junk? Who's with me? Sometimes we do that. We jump right back into that pool where God doesn't ever want us going backwards. I realize that we fall short of certain things, and I'm not saying fall back like we quit loving God or that salvation can be taken from me because it can't. Even in the midst of that, my salvation was free, and it's a gift of God, and I have to understand that. The thing I had to also do, guys, is quit trying to earn it, but understand that he loved me so much that I can't not turn back to him. I can't not, guys. When I mess it up and I make a mistake, and I use this because I holler at the umpire and I make a fool of myself and everybody listens to me holler at the referee during the basketball game. We're like, Mark's getting fired up the ref. He's not supposed to do that. And I go, hang on, I'll repent in a minute. And because, you know, yeah, honestly, because the problem is sometimes in my flesh, I'm not perfect. Amen. I mean, and then when I get wound up and get over, but you know what happens? I learn to deal with more difficult situations, more trials, when I start seeking God and getting my tank full. And then all of a sudden stuff, you can get to a place where it stops bothering you. But when you get all in the world, all that, and all of a sudden they call the foul on your son or something, and all of a sudden it shouldn't have been a foul, it's a little hard not to get fired up, you see? So we do that. But we can get to a place as we grow in God, and that's where he wants us today. He wants us to leave here today with a changed mindset. You need to start thinking differently. Take one step. It took me a lot of courage one day to start praying with my wife way back there. I said, Carrie, come here. And we prayed one day, and I, well, Lord, I don't know what to pray. You know, I just didn't matter. I just started talking. Little did I know, I'd end up here, you know, standing in front of you speaking because I was scared to death. Scared to death to even pray with my own wife because I might mess up. Wow, just praying with my wife. And here's the deal. Standing in the blessing around me and my family of prayer day after day to God to take care and protect my family and give them talents and giftings and wisdom every day. For years, we started doing that. For years. And we still, to today, it gets complacent times. I'm getting old. I feel like I can't do all the things. We're going to change the world. You know, and I started thinking I'm something special. God, take me all over the world, and I'll preach to everybody. But, you know, I don't want to be complacent. I want that same thirst today that I've always had back in my past. I want to thirst for God like that. Because when you do, and you do it, and you start seeing miracles, you go, God, you can't be that good. Oh, yes, He can. Yes, He can. He's a restorer of people. Change your life pattern. There are times when tragedy strikes that people are asking me this question. Don't you care? Someone needs to hear this. I have people all the time coming to me, and they dump what's wrong, and they just keep dumping what's wrong, and they're wanting me to engage in what's wrong with them. Yeah, that's just so terrible. And then we start into the gossip hour. You see, we start into how bad everything is. Okay, well, what happens with me when I do that? And I go, oh, and it registers and hits my spirit, man. At first, I really don't react. Everybody's like, don't you care that this tragedy's happened? Now, I care, but fortunately, I determined a long time ago that He's bigger than all that, and I'm not going to grovel in it and go down to that level and sit around swimming this junk that people are trying to pull out of me, and it's happening to us every day. It's happened to us on Facebook, and everybody we go to, they want to bring us down to a level that we grovel in what can't go right, grovel in fear, and I start doing that, and I've had people ask me, don't you care? I absolutely care. The problem is, I'm not going to worship that. I'm going to worship this. Because there's victory at it. At some point, I'll promise you, the victory lies there, no matter how bad the tragedy is or how bad the circumstances I face are. He showed me in my life too many times that He's bigger than that. And so I can't go back there, and it's just by faith and nothing else. Does that make sense? Wow, that's good. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm preaching to myself. I get up when I come here and preach, I go, God, what are you going to tell me today? Thank you, Jesus. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm just going to run through a few things, and we're going to just lay out some scriptures and psalms in a minute. But I'm going to tell you a testimony. It's actually a testimony about my wife. I'm going to brag on my wife. I'm going to go back way back there. And Carrie and I moved off, and we were going to have Grace. I'm doing a testimony on Grace. And I want you to hear some of this because I believe giving our testimony is something. So I'm shifting off this hat. I'm sitting right here, and I'm going to testify. We didn't know what we were going to do when Carrie became pregnant with Grace. And our deal was, we don't make enough money. She needs to quit one or stay home with our kids. We had all this worry. So we're sitting around worrying. And so what I did know that she did this. She took her lunch hour every day and grabbed her Bible. And she went, didn't go gossip. She didn't talk to any other teachers. She went to her room and started reading the Word every day and praying for 15 minutes. She fasted and she prayed. And she got in the Word, and she did it every day. And she did it for about a month and a half. I'm out playing golf, doing my thing, right? Not even thinking about it. My phone rings. Hey, I want a job. I got a job for you. And it pays 10% more than both of you make now, out of the blue. And I'm like, really, God? This is just my story. I was like, wow, I hang up. And then Carrie informed me later, Mark, I've been going and praying every day. There's seeking God, and it changed my life. I'm standing here today. I moved because of that job. It started this. I sold my company. We started baseball back again in my life, restored me, redeemed me, because my wife had the courage to seek God. Woo! And it helped transform my life. And it started to unfold, and then I started praying with her. God, you're that good? And we started praying. The next thing, you know, every time the blessing of God would run into my life, I would find out that He's at least 10% better than what I'd prayed for. But it's not about the things, because I know in my children they're 10% more than I would have ever imagined. Actually, they're a bunch more than that. And other things in my life. You see what I'm saying? Because He's not just a God of completion. And God's not a slot machine, but His love's big. He loves us that much. And then one more thing. It's a good story about grace. So I'm going to back up. Based on this scripture, we were seeking God. And there was one other time in our life that Carrie and I missed Christmas. We missed Thanksgiving. We missed Christmas. That's when she was having trouble with grace. And we kept being told that something's not going to work out. Doctors, people, we went to Woodward on Thanksgiving, and it wasn't time. It wasn't going to work out. And we stayed in that room in the midst of all this prayer, in the midst of seeking God through all this time, standing in that room, and people come up to me and saying, they were wanting to come into that room and tell me how it wasn't going to work out. And I said, you need to go. No one comes even up on this floor that's going to speak anything different than grace is going to be born on the perfect day, and it's not today. Standing in faith by that. Now, God does it different from different people, but for me, she was going to be born on the perfect day, and it wasn't that day, and I was not going to hear it or listen to it because my faith was strong because I'd been seeking God. This meter was all the way up, and I was poured into that for 2 months before she was born. And so it happens that grace was born on Christmas Day. And I stood in the operating room when we're not sure she's going to breathe. And I start praying in the Spirit over my wife and put my hands on her. Because you know what? I got to a point in my life, I didn't care who was listening. I didn't care what it was going to make me look like. I don't care. And I started praying over my wife in the operating room, and the power of the Holy Spirit filled that place, and I saw the power of God take hold, and my daughter was born, and we heard her first cry on Christmas Day. Here's what God would say to us today through this testimony. I'm that good. Just give it to me. Because there comes a place in your life, that's all I've got left. Praise God, he's all I got left. And that's the difference in me and other people. You're going to see other people. And I'm going to tell you what people do. This was a great word that I heard this week when I was looking about seeking God. You find somebody that's in it with God, and you look at their life, and you look at what's going on, I will show you somebody that's been seeking God. Even in the middle, I've been through just as much misery in the last 10 years and heartache in the world taking shots at me as anybody else. But it hasn't stolen my joy or changed the fact that God is with me, because the important things have only gotten better, not the junk we think it is, right? Okay, so I'm going to go to Psalms 9:10. We're just going to read a few scriptures and we'll wrap up today, just so we can all be on the same page here. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Woo! Now, this is David. He writes Psalms, right? Okay, so I want to go to the next one, if you will, babe. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Go back up to 9:10. I'm sorry. This is important. We need to hear this. Have not forsaken those who seek you. What's key right here? David, God had never forsaken David. He's never forsaken me. David's got a lot better story than I got. Because David had never seen God forsake him or anybody else. And he never will. We've seen that song, How He Loves Us? No. He had never seen that. Okay, so Psalms 10:4, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. This one stuck out to me. How do we get so busy in life when we get 95% Facebook and run around, everybody's pulling on us, we get tired, we get worn out. I don't want anybody to mess with me, and God's not in your thoughts. There's been times in my life whenever every single thing that came to me, I placed it in my God, man. It just went right over there because I wasn't going to listen to it. And there's also times when I'm not fueled up. You see where I'm going with that? We've got to fuel up, or we can keep having this misery that we keep going, stepping in the world and back out of. We have a choice today. God's asking us to seek him and find him, okay? Okay, 27:8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. I looked up a whole bunch about seeking God's face, but I will tell you this. There's only thing I'm going to say about it. I'm running out of time. The only thing I'm going to say about it is to seek someone's face, you have to know them. You have to be close enough to see them. And Lord knows, the older I get, that's difficult. But when you see someone's face, you see everything about them. Woo! When you seek my face, I know the Lord because I'm close enough to know his presence. I can see him. And right now I think about people in my life, I don't even know what they look like right now. Only the ones I was really close to. Woo, seek my face. You see what I'm saying? That's a powerful deal to me because I want to know the presence of that person. And this is another deal. And I'm very thankful for the mask stuff. I think when we should do that, we should know and we should do these things and support that when we should. Follow God, I get it, perfectly good. But I also know that at some point, when I can't see someone's face, I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're saying to me. It's darkness, and I feel like I'm hidden from them. And I wear mine. If I'm told to go in place, I do that. I get it. But I also know that that's not God's best for us, and he's going to fix that too. You see what I'm saying? He'll fix that too. Okay, we're getting ready to pray. Before we do, I gotta give you a quick. It's a fun baseball analogy. Okay, because I always got to do this. I see there's guys I coach. So when I coach, I always go, God's used this in my life, as he said, Mark. How are they going to interpret this? How are they interpret this parable? It's all good. But I'm going to tell you that someone needs to hear this. Okay, we need to today push back against the enemy. If we wanted to post and tweet something, I would say every time I say no to fear, I want you to hear this. Every time I say no to fear, the enemy is upset because it reminds him that he's doomed. If I have the ability to say no to fear, the enemy realizes it reminds him that Jesus already won. And if he can't get me afraid, he can no longer win in my life. Wow. When I can truly say no to being afraid, stop the fear, guys. I preach about it all the time. That's a good one. To push back against the enemy, we must stand firm and seek God, proclaim the victory we have in Jesus' name. And here it is. I hear people speaking doom and gloom all the time. Stop. When someone starts talking about how bad everything is, I get tired of telling them how good it is all the time to where I won't be around them. And that's not who I want to be. I want to be so prayed up in God that I can just spill it right back on them, how good God is, and bring victory. Hope that makes sense. Here's what I'm going to tell you. For this is my little analogy I got from this. No matter how many, this I'm talking about your life now in a parable to baseball. No matter how many runs you're behind, no matter how many errors you've made, no matter how many times you've struck out, you have to believe that you win the game. See, we keep getting to replay the game. We keep thinking we schedule another game. We get with the as coaches, we schedule more games. There's no more games to schedule in this deal, not in this game of life. Because in my life, I'm telling you, Jesus stepped up for me. He struck out the enemy at home plate. He hit the walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the ninth and brought me the final victory that I never have to schedule another game or play his game again. Woo! We don't have to schedule it again, guys. And the problem is we go over there and we want to reschedule and play our own pain and suffering again. And we jump back in the playing field and say, let's play again, see if you can beat me again. We don't have to. Wow, that's good. Okay, we're going to pray. And I'm excited for Nick. I know Nick heard that word today. And I know he heard, let me just say something. There was a lot happened today that you don't know, and you don't have to. Don't try and figure it out. When I preach and I do stuff, I learned that God, whatever you want to do today, just do it. I don't need to know what he did today. But your obedience, your act of obedience to seek God, this message was already being prepared before that, and you already brought people into the wake, not knowing it, but the Holy Spirit did today. Yeah. And there's more victory and salvation going to take place not only today but in the future. And you won't ever be perfect. But he'll love you enough that it'll draw you out. But he'll just, God, I love you. And you'll just keep chasing him. I know it as well as I'm standing here. Okay, so if you would, I'm going to have everybody stand up. And we're going to pray this prayer of salvation. And we're going to wrap up. I really didn't go into much of the scripture there. It was more testimony today. But I know that we need to learn to have courage. Even if we know we're not good enough. Well, that's a given. That's the reason to send his son in the first place, because I'm not good enough. Okay? So if you would repeat this prayer after me. And if you are saved, I want everyone in here to repeat this prayer, please. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. We're going to have some victory and salvation going forward today, and that's the proclamation that was for 2021, but you know, it's for every day. I don't make a big deal about it being that day. We got to quit putting stuff off. Tell ourselves we'll do it next year. Okay, so pastor's going to come. I'm going to have our worship team is going to come up. And we're also going to go out of here on that Graves to Garden song after we have this baptism. So if we're kind of jumping around here for a minute, getting ready for that, everybody just bear with us for a second. Go ahead, pastor.